orange or green.
There you go.
Amen.
Now you gotta say all that.
So, Brother Don, again, when he said, look, I want you to take my Corvette out for a spin, I said, you understand, I used to be a hot rodder in my day. But we did. It's here tonight. We drove up in it. And so, Brother Don, I just want you to know, to relieve your mind, there's a little bit of a vibration at 100, but it equals out at 120. Yes. And from there, it's just, it's just smooth sailing. But seriously, it is so much of a blessing to be back.
Amen.
At our home away from home. You have no idea how sweet, how wonderful it was to be able to be here for the 15 weeks that God had us on that adventure. And I'm so thankful that my wife, she's such a blessing, was with me and was with me on this 12-day trip. We started out in Cincinnati, Ohio, at 16 degrees. We were glad to come to Arizona at 90-something. That's fine. That's good. I like that. That's okay. And then from there, we're going to go down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. For a meeting there. You're going to eat some Cajun food, I guarantee it. It's going to be good. Amen. I like Cajun food. First time I was down there, pastor said, Brother Horn, you like Cajun food? I said, yes. He said, so what would you like? I said, yes. And so he said, okay, I know what to do and where to go. And so he took us somewhere and he said, I want you to have all of it. I said, I want all of it, So I had crawfish etouffee, bouillon balls, all the rest of it. Don't be shaking your head no over there. I don't want any negativity here tonight, okay? But I mean everything. I ate everything. It was good. And then I went to another church even further out in Louisiana. And I had already sampled, the crawfish etouffee. And I made a mistake there. I said, I want you to know how much I love your crawfish etouffee. And a fight almost broke out after the service between the ladies. They were saying, I'm making Brother Harding crawfish etouffee. No, you're not. You know my crawfish is better than your crawfish etouffee. And I mean, I thought, whoa, ladies, And all of a sudden, then the pastor's wife said, I am making Brother Harding etouffee. And it was like, okay. Everyone settled down, but oh, what a blessing, and just a blessing to be able to once again, be back to a full schedule, and it's the energy level is where it should be, and my stamina is steadfast, and I know why, because God's people, my church family, away from my church family here, prayed for us like, I'm telling you, like we are just exactly what we are, family, and so I'm so thankful to be here tonight, and I was asked several times coming in, so what's the tenure like now that the Super Bowl is over in Washington, D.C.? You know what they were talking about, right? The Super Bowl? Huh? With the Patriots against the Steelers? Am I talking about football? The Patriots won? So thankful? Okay. But I said they're so happy, they're almost giddy. It's amazing, the stuff that's going on there. And we're returning back to, you might say, just common sense again. And you can't help but love the fact that he says no more men in women's sports.
Amen.
I mean, you can't help but love that, right? No more men in women's bathrooms. Okay. There's only two sexes, male and female. None of these pronouns and all these ads, that's gone. And then he said, and we are not spending any money for sex changes in other types of nations, let alone our own.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I just love the Gulf of America.
Amen.
I'm getting a T-shirt, okay? Because it's just amazing. And many other things that are going on, making America healthy again, trying to expand some of these cutting-edge technologies that are available to us that the Lord actually allowed me to partake in. And I have to tell you this as well. It was just a couple weeks ago that last radiologist that did the Y90 procedure called me, and I was sitting in a restaurant in Maine at that time eating Maine lobster. Amen. Yes, I was. So maybe that was too much information for some of you, but it was very good. And he called. As soon as I answered the phone, Brother David, it was like, wow. He was very excited. And I said, what's going on, Doc? He said, well, I got some good news and some very good news. What do you want first? I said, well, let's start with the good news and kind of build up from there. He said, well, your liver was already producing really good, but it's even better. Your kidneys were already good, but they're even better. He said, and then secondly, I want to tell you this. You have no cancer in your liver at all. He said, I'm not talking about remission. I'm talking about gone. Not even a speck. He said, you know what? This is not a double. This is a home run for you. He said, I wish I could tell this to every one of my patients, but I can't. But it sure does make it wonderful to be in the medical profession, and field to be able to tell you. And so I'm very glad about that. I'm glad about the fact that, hey, I hope you're getting ready to spend $1.60 something on gas again, because it's coming. And I like that because I drive a Suburban. Amen. And someone asked me again, they always ask me, so what kind of mileage do you get in Suburban? They always ask me, what kind of mileage do you get in that big Suburban 8-cylinder? I said, I don't care. I'm an American. I don't care how much gas mileage I get. I'm driving a Suburban. That gas mileage is secondary. Amen. I'm going to leave a real big footprint. Amen. I'm not going to squeeze into one of those little smart cars. You know what they come with, right? They come with a shoehorn. So you can get in there. Amen. They're not smart to me. And if you're driving a smart car, well, okay, God bless you. But, you know, can you imagine getting in an accident with one of those things? Being run over by a four-wheeler, okay? And it wouldn't be a pretty sight, what I'm saying. But, we're going to start drilling and excavating. And you know what's going on right now in Alaska? The poor people in Alaska, they have to use heat oil. That's very expensive. But at the same time, they have all the natural gas that they need and more for every resident. And they're just burning it into the atmosphere. I mean, they are literally burning it into the atmosphere. Is that stupid or what? Here comes the XL pipeline again. You know, I've been to Alaska when the pipeline was going. Because you know what they said? Oh, environmentalists, you know, oh, it's really going to damage the Alaskan wildlife. Hey, I felt the pipeline. It's warm. Guess where all of the wild animals are having their babies? Underneath the pipes. And the wildlife is just exploding. Amen? I don't know about you, but that warms the cockles of my heart when they're wrong, okay? But, and the reduction of the federal bureaucracy. Ooh, those people that have been staying at home in their PJs, moving out of state from their jobs, you know. And I know maybe some people, there are some good people that got caught in that. But the fact is, most of those people are just on a glide. And he's saving over $1 billion a day in doing that. $1 billion a day. Amen. I love this stuff. He is once again introducing patriotism into our public schools. And he is, talking about public schools, the next thing on the agenda is giving parents that amount of money that they spend on public schools to let you put your child anywhere you want to, in Christian schools, et cetera. A lot of times people, you know, and even God's people, they're kind of jittery. You know why? They're saying, Elon Musk has too much power. I said, what do you mean? He has too much power. Look what he's doing. You mean like cutting the fat? Oh, you mean like, you know, I don't think he should have any authority. He doesn't have any authority that the president doesn't allow him, and he doesn't make any decision or cut any budget without the president's knowledge and permission. So to our brethren, Mike, again, quote, you've heard it before, suck it up, buttercup. So in saying all of that, the swamp is being drained at breakneck speed. Amen. And everyone that has any common sense in America on Capitol Hill is very happy. Amen. Amen. And in fact, I even met a Christian the other day at an airport. And she was saying, well, I just don't think President Trump, you know, likes this type of people or that type of people. I said, are you kidding me? Well, that's what he said. He said, did he say that? Did you see him say that? Well, now that's what someone said that he said. I said, you need to turn off those news sources that you're watching. Communist News Network, MSLSD, you know, NBC, you know, ABC, already been chewed, okay? All of these, and start actually, first of all, getting in this book right here. Amen? And by the way, even Fox News sometimes. Yeah, come on. You know, look, we need to start being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And making sure that everything we bring into our mind and our heart is biblical. So, if you would please, I want to just speak for a little bit tonight on what we need to do in this time in which we live. Amen? Isn't that good? God's word is very, very applicable. It's right to the moment. Amen? If you would take your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 33 tonight. And let's all stand as you're turning there. Amen. Isaiah chapter 33. And I want to read just a few verses that we're going to use as a kind of a springboard into some wonderful truth. Okay. Now, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 5 says this. The Lord is exalted. Oh, that's good, isn't it? For he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And by the way, he's filling America with judgment and righteousness once again. Okay? Those people that were agendized into going after Christians and conservatives, like many in the FBI, in the CIA, and the NSA, that's over with. The Department of Justice that was again agendized and not actually weighing the law, but going after conservatives and Christians. Hey, I know Pam Bondi. Oh, yeah. If you saw her being interviewed in her office, the book that I wrote, the very first book that I wrote, The Prayers That Shaped America, is prominently displayed right behind her on her credenza. That was given to her in Florida when she was the assistant district attorney there. She's a born-again believer. She says things like, it's not really about the elephant or the donkey. It's about the Lamb. Yeah. Oh, I like that, don't you? Yes. Hey, are you glad you're in church tonight?
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to be in church tonight. I've been looking forward to this. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And see, here's something that we need to realize in verse 6. So that we can, you might say, be what we need to be for God during the time in which we live. All right? And wisdom and knowledge shall be, look at this word, the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. That means speak, crying without. You know, look, if your pastor ever gets with it, and he does all the time, every time I've ever seen him, he has a tendency once in a while to raise his voice a little bit, to get a little bit excited. You say, why are you getting excited? Maybe it's because of God's word.
Amen.
And maybe we're supposed to cry against the wickedness of the world.
Amen.
Amen? So I like that. I like that. And it says that is what we're supposed to do. And look at this. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. That's a broken heart. We all need to have that, do we not? I want to have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Oh, God, thank you for these dear people and their pastor, his family and this church family. Oh, God, continue to bless them in a miraculous way. Father, build a hedge protection around this ministry. Bind off once again the wicked and the evil one. As we go into thy word tonight, help us to go in with fresh eyes. Lord, with that awesome wonder of who you are, and Lord, the amazing, miraculous mercies that you give us each and every day. We are truly blessed people to know you as Savior and then to live in this great nation called the United States. Lord, please do something tonight as I step back, step forward. Control every fiber of my being. the articulation of speech, clarity of thought, oh God, but most of all, that holy unction from on high, that you would allow your blessed and Holy Ghost to come in and have his will and way. And every mind and heart will be very careful to give you all the praise and glory for what you're about to do. For we ask this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So first of all, we see this. We see, and I'm going to come back to that word stability because it's very important. But first of all, we see this, knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are interchangeable, you see. But here's the problem sometimes. Number one, there are people that are wise in the world, but that doesn't buy you anything. The knowledge of God's Word, okay, just reading God's Word isn't enough. You need to not just read it. You need to meditate upon it. Amen. You need to memorize it. You need to take it with you, because when you take the knowledge of God's Word and put it into action, apply it, that's when wisdom kicks in.
Amen.
And I don't know about you. I've never been anyone that wasn't one puppy short of a pet shop that wanted to grow up any way else but wise, or to have people believe that they're wise. The book of Proverbs, of course, is that book that embodies the philosophy of truth, the truth of heaven, not the truth of the earth, for the benefit of you and I. It demonstrates that we are God's creation, created to have fellowship and constant relationship with him. You know what I do every day, or strive every day? To have a greater consciousness of that God is.
Amen.
That he's with me all the time. His thoughts towards us are many. I wonder how many thoughts we gave him today. Was he the last thought that you had last night? Was he the first thought that you had this morning? Have you thought about him today? Have you talked to him? I'm not just talking about devotions. I'm talking about just talking to him like a friend, because he is. What I'm saying is, hey, God wants us to have a commitment to him. And when he sees that, then he reveals himself unto us. Matthew 13 and verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So God committed to revealing himself to us. What a wonderful thought. He's so committed that he doesn't use not one, not two, but three means to reveal himself to us.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I mean, he just wants us to know him.
Right.
He wants us to know him more than we want to know him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, here's the thing. We need to realize that in committing himself to us, to man, there are certain ways and things that we need to know so that we can take this knowledge and put it into wisdom. And I'll get back to where we are. Number one, he reveals himself to us in a special way,
right,
in the written word.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I mean, we have the written word of God,
right,
in our own language. When you go back in church history and you see how many men and women literally burned at the stake, drawn and quartered, I mean, suffered torture to death because simply they had this word,
right,
maybe we'll value it a little bit more.
Amen.
Maybe we will read it a little bit more,
amen,
memorize it a little bit more, meditate upon it a little bit more, and apply it. That's what God wants.
Amen.
He knows all the pitfalls out there. 2 Peter 1:19. You know, I always thought, wow, when I was a young Christian, wow, wouldn't it have been wonderful to walk with the Lord?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought that? I mean, literally to walk with the Son of God, to see where he laid his head, to see him perform those miracles,
amen,
to be a part of that inner circle. I remember one time I was over in Israel at Caesarea Philippi, where the Lord said, upon this rock, I will build my church.
Yeah.
And our tour guide was a Jew that gotten saved, but he was having a hard time witnessing. And we were singing in the Hebrew a song that we had learned, a bunch of pastors, and I was leading the song because I was a song director. Brother Joe, how about that? Amen. And so I was leading this song, and a guy came down and introduced himself to me. He said, my name's Herzl. I said, hey, Herzl, how you doing? He said, I want you to know something. I've accepted your Messiah. I said, no, you've accepted your Messiah, and I've accepted your Messiah. He's Yeshua HaMashiach. He's for you. I'm the wild olive branch grafted in. He went, oh, yeah. And I said, Herzl, Itamar, the other Jew, Itamar Markovich from a Russian, part of the diaspora, he just got saved. He's having a hard time witnessing about the fact that he got saved. He went, oh, and he starts encouraging Itamar, Herzl encouraging Itamar about his faith and about, and I'm there, I'm thinking, here I am at Caesarea Philippi, and there's two Jews talking about the Lord. Are you coming back now? I mean, come on, right? It was wonderful. Why? I'll tell you why. Because even though I couldn't walk with the Lord as you couldn't, we have a more sure word of prophecy. See, they didn't have the completed word of God. But we do. See, that's how God compensates. He always compensates. Amen. It says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. That means the Lord's getting ready to come back. Okay, that day star. No one's going to set a date. Better not, or you'll be laughed out of here. Okay? But when the day star, and we can see it, it's coming. The Lord's coming. It's closer now than it was when we started the service. Right. Amen. Amen? Hey, are you excited about that?
Amen.
I'm excited. Hey, we need to be excited about that because those that love is appearing, God's going to just give you a reward just for that. Amen. Just for loving his appearing. I don't know about you. That's a real meal deal. Amen? I mean, that's better than a Big Mac, okay? Or all the rest of them, right? Hey, look, number one, special, personal. The living word of God, Jesus Christ. The word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was personal. See, he suffered like we suffered. Nothing that we've suffered that he doesn't know about. Because he's been there. And by the way, he knows the greatest suffering and dying the worst way that a person can die. And so he knows all of the suffering too. General, the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We look up the stars, we say, oh, wonderful. It's God. That's God. Look, it's not deism. It's biblical. Day unto day he uttereth speech, night unto night he showeth knowledge. I don't know about you, I get excited about that. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, they're clearly seen. Amen? I love that. So, choices. We need to make the right choices, don't we? If we're going to be wise, if we're going to have that knowledge, and from that knowledge, stability, okay? Number one, revelation, threefold. We have just seen. Number two, exploration. We must ask ourselves, are we ready to receive the wisdom of God? Are you ready to say yes to God, no matter what that is, no matter what he shows you in this book? See, there's the secret of the Christian life, of growing. It's not hard. Is it, Brother David? You just keep on saying yes to God. God gives you something to do, you say yes. And you do it. I can't understand these new converts. It's almost like pulling teeth trying to get them to do what's right. I'm saying you do understand, right, that God wants to bless you. And when you say no, it's going to come back again. Hey, look, I never repeated a grade. I almost did a couple of times just because of my mouth. Okay, because it was always, and I was a troublemaker. Oh yeah, I'll confess my sin. I used to make the class laugh. Teacher didn't like it. One time a teacher threw a book at me. I mean, literally threw a book. But I was fast. Hey, I said, what do you think the principal would think about that? I didn't do anything. I knew he was just frustrated, and he should have been, but. Can you imagine having to repeat over and over again the same test that the Lord wants to give you? I don't want to do that. I want to complain. I want to go on.
Amen.
I want to go on. I want to grow. Right. Amen? And so we need to understand it's not for the elite. It's for anyone.
Amen.
It can be attained in two ways, revelation and exploration. So Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee. That is, are you willing to receive it? Number two, you're really to willing to apply it so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding? Are you asking God for it? Are you asking God for wisdom? Did you ask, rhetorical, don't want everyone's hands to go, well, did you ask God for wisdom today? Amen. And what to do? What to say? Decisions? Yeah. You know, we have not because we ask not. Yeah. The more we ask, the more we receive. I want to be wise. Yep. Amen. You know why? I want to be wise for myself, as God says, it's a good thing, but wise for my wife and wise for other people as well.
Amen.
It's others. It's always others. Yep. So are you asking for it? Are you asking? Are you passionate in the pursuit of it? If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Can you imagine? Finding a hid treasure. I saw a documentary the other day about a guy that found more gold in some sunken ship than anyone had ever found in the history of maritime exploration. I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool, you know. Would you like to do that, Brother Hardy? It cost him a huge amount of money to find that, you know, that gold, and I don't know if he broke even or not, but what I'm saying is I want to do something far more precious. And that is to seek the gold and the silver of God's wisdom.
Amen.
Far beyond any price that you can put on it. My, oh my, we get to do this, folks. It's just laid out there for us. I don't know why more people are running to it. I remember a video of the Chinese when they smuggled Bibles into this area. And there were young Chinese, and they opened up the box of all these Bibles, and you could hear the Chinese young people go, whoa! And it just like, it was a crescendo. They ran over, and they started handing Bibles out. And these young Chinese Christians were holding the Bible to their chest and weeping uncontrollably. You know why? Because they were hungry. Because they were passionate. God committed to seekers. He gives promises to those that seek Him. He will be our supplier. Proverbs 2 and verse 7, He layeth up sound wisdom for righteous. Not just wisdom, sound wisdom. Isn't that good? I mean, you know, it's right on tune. You know, a word fitly spoken, right? You can tell when someone's right on tune. I can tell when someone's speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's just something about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Can't you sense that? You know, I sense it every time. Brother Moore got up here and spoke. Wow, the Holy Spirit was there. It was wonderful. You know, He's our buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He's our shield. He's our sentinel. Proverbs 2:8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. So what are the steps real quickly to wisdom? And I'm moving along quickly, so buckle up, okay? Here we go. Amen. Someone said one time, Brother Hardy, listen to you is like trying to drink from a fire hose. Well, okay, well, I'm just trying to give you as much as I can, all right? Just like a shower. Now, you're not going to absorb all the water, but it's going to go past you. It's going to make you clean, and I want to just help you. The steps of wisdom, okay? Strategy, four things very, very quickly that we need to understand. Walking up is always harder than walking down. Do you agree? I know that's profound, isn't it? That's very profound. Walking against the crowd is a lot harder than walking with the crowd. Right? You know, I remember one time I forgot something at a sports event, and it was years and years ago. It was the Caps, the hockey team, and I started walking against the crowd. I went, forget this, I don't care. I'm just going to leave it for someone else, you know? I mean, there's just no way. But number one, we see the first step is just being humble. Being humble. Just humbling yourself. Too many times people, you know, it's almost like they don't want to just let the Lord know who they are. I need wisdom. Do you need wisdom? I need it. Some do not attain it because they forget their position is in God's sight. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Amen?
Amen.
You know why? Because we're all made the same way. Yeah, we all have pride. Every one of us. If someone says, I'm not proud, well, you just became one. I'm not proud. You ever heard of, you ever seen anyone say, I'm not proud? Oh, yes, you are. You saying that just proved it. Amen? I never make a mistake. Well, you just made one, okay? I mean, it's not real startling to understand. That's a starting place. The agonizing cry. I remember a preacher years ago. He said, the first thing I get up in the morning. Ready? First thing I get up in the morning, you know what I do? We're all waiting. I go before the Lord and I say, help! Help! He did a little bit better than me. Help! That's what we need to do.
Amen.
Amen. Humility.
Right.
Oh, we need his, don't you? We need his help? Yeah. Amen. I mean, first thing, put ourselves before him.
Right.
Amen. That's the starting place. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Humble, right?
Yep.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What blessings? The blessings of those that recognize their own needs.
Amen.
The blessings of those that basically are, you know, willing to admit. You know, God has a sense of humor. Did you know that? What is that, the rolling thunder coming? Man, oh man, what is that? Is that a plane going over? Really? Do you have that often?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in D.C. with rolling thunder coming in. Oh, yeah? No, not too long ago, I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. I heard that sound, and a whole motorcycle group pulled in. Thankfully, they were Christian. Firefighters. They took up half the church. Oh, yeah? I said, I used to ride a motorcycle. Oh, yeah? Yeah, I had a Honda 150. No, I told him I had a Norton 850 Commando. They went, oh, yeah, yeah. You want to take a picture with us? I said, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm glad we're over that, okay? So, God has a sense of humor. James 1:5. You know why I know that? Because God says, if any of you lack wisdom. That's funny. If any of you, oh, are you kidding, Lord? If, okay, well, that's good. What's your next, what's the punchline? Let him ask of God. Oh, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And it shall be given him. Is it possible that we don't possess God's wisdom to the extent that he wants us to? Because we don't and have not come to a place where we understand we lack ourselves. Too many times we're going about our own way, doing our own thing, what we think is right, and that brings us to a place of poverty. Look, it makes no difference what I think or what you think. It makes no difference. And I get asked this all the time on Capitol Hill. Well, what do you think about this? I said, that makes no difference. Well, Brother Harding, I want to know what the biblical aspect on this bill is before we go forward with it. I said, okay, well, that's not what I think. That's what God says. We have the mind of Christ. And this is what God says. This is not what I think. And that's what we need to understand. We need to, once again, get our mind and heart aligned with God's Word so where we're thinking scripturally, you see. Either you will come to realization yourself or God will bring you there. And I would rather humble myself. What about you? So I must cry out, Lord, I'm so empty. I lack. Fill me, Lord. I'm reaching out to you. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which, God says, exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. I want God to delight in my way. You want God to delight in your way?
Amen.
I know you do.
Right.
I know the kind of people that go here. Well, this is how we can do it, right here. When you think you've arrived, you haven't. You've stopped growing. So Paul's a good example of this, okay? Stay with me here. I'm moving right along. Good example. At the beginning of his ministry, you know what he said? 2 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So that's where he started. I shouldn't even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the people of the way. And when he says that, he talks about first century Christians. That's what we were called in first century, the people of the way. Because the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then he goes and continues to grow in grace and wisdom, knowledge. Now in Ephesians 3:8, he says, woe unto me, look at this now, who am less than the least of all saints. Now he's not just the least of the apostles. Now he's the less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?
Amen.
Woo! Come on! I told Brother Moore before I started. Now I enjoy Brother Moore's preaching and teaching. I've talked to people all over the United States, Brother Moore. I said, the Lord, he led us to this church, because they wondered what it was like going through 15 weeks of cancer treatments. I said, you know what? It was wonderful. They said, what? I said, yeah, because we had this church that was just so encouraging. I did nothing but walk into the church. I didn't even talk to the pastor the first time I walked in. I talked to the pastor's wife and another lady who was with you. You remember? There was another lady there. I just walked in and said, is the pastor here? Oh, no, he's in a meeting. And I saw some things going on in the background. It's right over here. I guess it was kind of like a fellowship or something. But I could sense the Holy Spirit of God. I went home. I said, Joe, because she was sick that morning. I said, Joe, I found the church. I had visited another church. And then I came here just to see with this one. And I just walked in. I said, we found the church. I have found the church. And she walked in. She said, wow. And she got so excited. She said it backwards. Wow. And then so... But we knew it was wonderful. But you know, here's the thing. As he ends his ministry here on earth in full maturity, you know what he says? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He starts out, least of all saints, continues with, you know, hey, I'm not even fit to even tie the shoelace of any Christians. Least of all saints, least of the apostles, now I'm the chiefest of sinners. See what he was doing? Humbling himself. He was humbling himself, and God was lifting him up, wasn't he? Oh, yeah. Hey, the way up is down. In the Christian life. Amen. The way up is down. It's always an oxymoron. The way to get is to give. You have some financial problems? Increase your giving. So you're nuts. No, I'm not. I'm biblical. My wife and I, we've gone through some very rough patches financially. You know what we did? We increased our giving. You know what God did? Well, I'm not going to let you get away with that. I'll be a debtor to no man. There were times where, I mean, it was pretty thin pickings. And my wife said, are we going to increase our missions, our faith missions this year? I said, yes, we are. Amen. She said, okay. I love my wife because she's always for it, you know. I gave this much and I gave that to this person. And she always says, yeah, good. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's just no way you can outgive God.
Amen.
The only problem is some people haven't tried that yet. And why? You know why? Because you don't have the knowledge or the wisdom. Knowledge is what we get. Wisdom is how we apply that.
Yep.
That experiential knowledge that becomes wisdom. Wonderful. So, following a humble spirit. Next is a hungry, hungry soul. Blessed are they which do hunger. Why? And thirst after righteousness, for they shall, well, there's a promise, be filled. Amen? Anyone hungry right now? I mean, physically? How many hungry? You guys are always hungry. All the teenagers, yes, I'm hungry. You know, I learned that a long time ago when I was youth director, and and the principal of a Christian school. Yes, I was a principal of a Christian school. If those folks have not heard me before, what do Christian principals do? We never die. We just lose our faculties. Go completely insane and do something else. Amen? But I can remember taking our young people. I wasn't hungry, but they wanted a Burger King. I took our senior class to France, to England and France. They raised the money, so I took them. And I said, look at all the French cuisine. Look at the pastries. Look at the baguettes. Bill Harney, there's a Burger King right down the road here. I'm saying, this is wasted on you. You're hungry for the wrong things, okay? And that's what the world is many times. They're hungry for the wrong things.
Right.
Yep. Lord, make me hungry, but Lord, make me hungry for the right things. I want to be hungry for you. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for the Lord? You say, well, I'm not really hungry. I'm not really thirsty. You can ask him to give you hunger and give you thirst for him. What made the great people of the Bible and Christian history great? They had an insatiable hunger for God. They could never get enough. Amen? It's like Chinese food. You eat Chinese food and you're hungry again in half an hour. You want some more. Amen? I don't know how that is, but it is what it is. Maybe it's the MSG. I don't know. Maybe it's just because, you know, I'm hungry. I don't know. Maybe I've never grown up, whatever the case may be. So what I'm saying is, in the journals of Hudson Taylor, his book, The Spiritual Secrets of the Christian Life, he said this about his own hunger. This is what, I saw him, I sought him, and I wanted him.
That's good.
How bad do you want God?
Wow.
How hungry are you? There's a saying in our culture, we can have just about anything we desire, but one of the reasons why we're lacking is because too many times we're snacking on the things of the world and not feeding on the things of God. A full soul, loatheth, say that five times fast, and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So if you stay hungry, no matter what God gives you, it's good. It's good. Remember when you were a kid, you would have something good, and what would you do? Oh, hey, you need to taste this. Unless you were stingy, then you'd say, no, you know, I'm eating it all, you know. But if you were someone that was giving, you say, this is so good, I want everyone to have a taste of it. That's how we need to be with the gospel. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Over and over and over again. My soul longeth, over and over again. Seek him with your whole heart. Keep his precepts diligently. Wisdom is hungering for God in the soul. It's probably true that most of us, you might say, have so many creature comforts.
Right.
It's a challenge. Isn't it not?
Right.
It's a challenge in our society. We are more challenged in our society than they were back in colonial times.
Right.
Well, you didn't have all the comforts. How did you comfort yourself? You went to the Lord. You know? I mean, hardly have enough food, candlelight to light your home. Hopefully the wood would last until you could find some more scraps. Hopefully the rain would come and rain on your poor little crops out there. Hopefully grandma won't feel so much pain because there was no doctors in your area. You pick at random a score of great saints whose testimonies are widely known. And there's one thing that constantly is there. The difference between Moses and Isaiah. Think about that. How different was Elijah from David? John from Paul? Peter, the ignorant fisherman. Finney from Whitfield. Moody from Spurgeon. You know, I wandered around in Moody's office years ago. My wife is so patient. We found where Dwight L. Moody's office was. And it was like, all his books were there. His Bibles were there. His chair was there, which was like huge. It was like this. Amen. And his crushed brown velvet coat was there. And there was an old matronly lady that said to me, could I go look at Moody's study? Yeah, help yourself. I was in there for 3 hours. I was trying on his coat, sitting in his chair. I was looking at his messages. I went over and played the organ that Ira Sankey played in the world revivals that they went on. I mean, I was having a time. My wife, she was through in about 15 minutes. And she was just sitting over there. I'll be here for a while, right? And I opened up a Bible. And it was inscribed by Charles Haddon Spurgeon to D.L. Moody. And I can even remember what it says. I hope this one will suffice until I go hence. I cannot give you the other one at this time. C.H. Spurgeon, that beautiful handwriting. And I thought, wow, the difference between those men. Spurgeon, with the great command of the king's language, he leapt, as a speech teacher said, to the platform fully grown. And then Moody, that had an elementary education and could say the word Mesopotamia in one syllable, murdered the English language. But yet both of those men were so powerfully used, unbelievably used. Why? Well, because they had that spiritual hunger. A humble spirit, hungry soul, a hearing heart. Lord, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear what you have to say. 1 Kings 3, it says, In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And you know what Solomon said. Thou hast showed thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast now given unto me. And so he asked simply for wisdom to rule his people. Give therefore thy servant an understanding or a hearing heart to judge thy people. And of course, God said, wow, because you've asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked thyself for thyself understanding, discerning judgment. Oh, I'm going to do that. And so much more. That's who we need to be. Always going before God, a hearing heart. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It says also, though, very quickly, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth or heareth unto wise counsel is wise. So, my beloved brethren, let every one of us be swift to hear and slow to speak. Right. Slow to wrath. That's why we were given one of these and two of these. Amen. Amen. As long as this is moving, these aren't listening. Yeah. And you're not learning.
Yeah. Right.
So what we need to do, obviously, is to keep this a little more still and keep these a little more active. So we have, lastly, number four, a heeding mind. I will obey God. You show me something, I'm going to obey it. In fact, I'm going to be rejoicing as I obey it because I know that's what you want me to do. This truth is nationalized as well. Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 6, well, I know some of you are saying, well, when is it going to get around to God and country? Right here. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep heeding them, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I am glad we're beginning to come back to that. I'm telling you, when the helicopter went away with Sleepy Joe and Cackling Camilla, it was almost like taking the same kind of destruction away as it was in Vietnam. I sure am glad they're gone. I hope they get saved. I think it's shameful what they did to Joe Biden. I think it was elder abuse. Shame on his wife who should have protected him. Shame on those people around him that used him despitefully. It is a wonder he didn't get badly injured walking off of the platform. Now, he embarrassed us to the entire world. I'm glad we have someone that isn't doing that anymore. Amen. That, you know, the reason why, it's the Gulf of America, right? Because Joe Biden said you cannot drill in the Gulf of Mexico. Trump said, that's okay, we'll just change the name. And then he said, drill, baby, drill. Amen. Now the rest of the nation is going to start paying very soon, I believe. We will once again be the number one producer and exporter of natural gas and oil.
Amen.
Now, if you don't like this, you might be in the wrong place.
Right.
If you wanted Camilla to win, then you, I know, I can't even fathom that. It would have been gone for our country completely. Aren't you glad that our tax dollars aren't being paid for teaching Chinese prostitutes how to drink responsibly? Really? You have no idea what your hard-earned tax dollars have gone to. And I'm glad that it's over.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to become the most powerful nation on earth again. Where we won't have to rob parts from a plane in a museum to keep our men flying and protecting our nation.
Amen.
We're actually going to start producing some things. Oh, Brother Harding, I just don't think a preacher should preach that way. Let me just say this. The only reason our country is because of preachers preaching just this way.
Amen.
Check it out. Back in the 1600s and 1700s. Even check out the Declaration of Independence with nothing but just a culmination, a combination of a huge amount of messages preached decades leading up to the Declaration of Independence. And do you think 56 multi-billionaires would have ever pledged to each other their lives or fortune as sacred honor if they weren't brought up under this book right here? No. Nonsense. So how does this all come back to us again? Observing to do. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. We need some more stability. There's too many of God's people that, and I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about throughout our country. I get phone calls. I've gotten phone calls about pastors. I don't like Elon Musk doing this. I'm saying, well, you need to start turning off whatever you're listening to and start opening up God's Word.
Amen.
And realizing something. Because stability is what we need. And it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. I don't know about you. I don't want to be running around with my hair on fire. Oh my, what are we going to do? I want to have some stability. I want to have some peace in my soul. Stability is steadfastness, stableness, firmness, strength to stand without being moved or overthrown, as the stability of a throne, the stability of a constitution of government.
Amen.
That's 1828, Webster's dictionary that he wrote so we could understand the Bible better. Steadfastness, firmness of character, firmness of resolution or promise, the qualities opposite to fickleness. Fickleness. I wouldn't even want to be called fickle. That even sounds like a sissy. Fickleness, irresolution, or inconsistency. We say a man is of little stability or of unusual stability. Fixedness, purpose, opposed to fluidity. Do you want to be fluid or do you want to be solid?
That's good.
Hey, I walk on Capitol Hill. I walk with a purpose. I walk where I know I'm going. Say, where are you going? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm going to certain offices, and if I see a delegate, if I see a representative, I will walk up to him. Most likely, he knows who I am, and I'll bow right there and pray with him, and he is willing or she is willing to pray with me right there in the hallway.
Amen.
You know why? I learned a long time ago, working for diplomatic security, you walk in a certain way. You walk with authority. You talk with a purpose. Make sure there's some steadfastness in you. Don't be wishy-washy.
Amen.
A little buttercup, a little snowflake. Okay? He offended me and what he said. I don't like the way he speaks. He seems like a bully. Get over it. I don't think he's a very nice person. I know he's a very nice person. By the way, he's done more for people of all color than anyone in our lifetime.
Amen.
Anyone as president in our lifetime.
Right.
I've met him. Have you met him face to face? Have you talked to him? I have. He's a nice guy. I've told you this before. I mean, after a few minutes, I thought I was his best friend. And then he left me all alone as he continued through the crowd. What I'm saying is, hey, know whereof you speak. I do. And I want some stability. You know why? Because God says it's the strength of stability, the strength of salvation. Stability is the strength of salvation, and the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And I'm talking about reverential fear. So I want to be stable. You know why? Because when I talk to someone about the Lord, I want to make it so real when I present it to them that the Holy Spirit comes down and reveals it to them in such a way they can't walk away from it.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
That they open up to it.
Yep.
That they begin to receive the things of the Lord through and by the Holy Spirit's revelation. I can't make anyone understand the gospel. But I sure can present it.
Amen.
With purpose,
right.
In power,
yep.
With the presentation that God has given to us from his Bible.
Amen.
And then see what happens. Hey, do you understand? If our country was founded for the salvation of the lost, and it was,
right.
For the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it was. They said so in the Mayflower Compact. It's only right for me then, and for you, to live and breathe and eat and sleep the fact that we all need knowledge, need wisdom, and stability so that other people can look at us and say, hey, there's something different about Carlos. Why is he always smiling? What is he hiding? And Carlos will say, I'm not hiding anything. Let me show you what I have. Hey, Roberts, he's just got this kind of like glow about him. What's maybe he's using a different type of soap than I am. I'm going to go ask him. Okay? Eric, he's got the kind of this sly smile. You ever notice that about Eric? Sly smile, like, I know something you don't know. Okay? It sounds like you want to go ask him. And when they do, hey, he'll say, well, let me tell you what the hope is that lieth within me. I can go all through the room here. See, every one of us can be exactly what God wants us to be.
Right.
Have the knowledge, have the wisdom, and the stability.
Amen.
How hungry are you? How thirsty are you?
Yeah.
Oh, stay hungry. I told a young man last night in Yuma, just a teenager, came up to me, started talking to me, completely different from the last time I was there preaching. I said, you know what? I see. He said, what? What, Dr. Harding? I said, I see a fire burning inside you. I see a hunger there. I see thirst there. Make sure you keep thirsty. Stay hungry. I'm impressed, but I'm nothing. You keep going to God because He'll keep coming to you. Just so simple. It's so simple. I hope that this will be a blessing to you tonight. Again, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Brother Moore, for just being such a gracious, kind friend, and for your wife and for that little picture book you put together. She put a picture book together because she knows I can't read, and so I look at the pictures. My wife reads it to me. But you've been so kind. And what I've just told you, it's our part. Our president said, let's make America great again. Amen. We need to make America godly again. Amen. That'll make America great again. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for this midterm election coming up already, Brother Harney? Already. Because one battle's over, as I've said, I think the last time I preached here, another has already begun. And you see all the protests and all the liberals and the left wing. They're like a bunch of eighth graders throwing a tantrum. Oh, by the way, too, as I close, if you don't have any of these books, you can download them free from our website, How to Pray for Our Country Scripturally, How to Pray for Revival in Our Country, and Be Still and Know That I Am God. You can download them for free. And if anyone wants these, you can have these after I get through. Don't run up to the platform. Try to wait for a little bit until I get there.